Christina. What a girl wants, what a girl needs, whatever makes me happy sets you free. Mariah. CITR, where you'll hear none of those divas. CITR 101.9 FM, where the only divas you're likely to hear are Kathleen.
Suck my left one!
The Amanda. Lydia.
Would somebody please inform the U.S. government that my uterus is not open to public debate.
CITR 101.9 FM, your true diva station.
Like Stephen King writes horror. If I was a Jew, then I'd light her menorah. I got rums for ya, excuse me, senora. Are you a horror? Are you a lady? Is it Eric O'Boyer or Marsha Brady? Let me know, hun, the deed'll get done. Just us in the position. I'll take my run, then I'll go fishing. I'll get your river flowing, I'm always in the knowing. It comes to giving pleasure, I'm every woman's treasure. I came to work your body, so let me do my job. I've never been laid off, my rhyme is still paid off. Now I'm making records, now I'm making tapes. Steady busting suckers in bunches like grapes. Making all the papes, scooping up the loot. Putting suckers on the run, pull my gun in and I shoot. I never been a front, I never been a fraud. I got a natural skill, but I thank the Lord. Cause I feel blessed, I'm casually dressed. I always got my gun, but I never wear the vest. I'm quick on the draw, like a horse named McCullough from the cartoon. Boom, shalak, lock, boom, shalak, lock, boom.
Okay, that is quite enough of that. Hi, everybody. It is Tuesday. It is 4:30, and you know what that means by now. It is time to get in the cage with Bards, Vancouver's preeminent MMA radio show. And until the UFC decides to start promoting me as a Mexican, I'm Carlin Bardsley. Lots to talk about. The UFC had another huge show this past weekend. Battlefield Fight League ran another excellent show here in town, and we've got more in the way of local news. So let's get right to it then, shall we? I think we shall. Ding dong, the witch is dead. Brock Lesnar, MMA's Dark Lord, had his UFC heavyweight title reign end abruptly at the hands of Cain Velasquez via TKO 4 minutes, 12 seconds into the very first round. Lesnar came out in his trademark bull rush offense before clinching with Cain and taking him to the mat. Lesnar tried taking the challenger to the mat twice, actually, but looked unprepared when Velasquez just shrugged off Lesnar's takedowns and got right back to his feet, a la prime Chuck Liddell. Velasquez then shot for a takedown and began unloading blows before Lesnar was able to get back to his feet. Well, sort of. He then tumbled across the octagon looking either like a drunken figure skater or a man being attacked by a swarm of bees. I haven't decided which is more likely yet. Velasquez continued his ruthless assault with a knee to the body and some ground and pound from the half guard before Lesnar was able to get back on his feet briefly before eating some more knees to the body and being put right back down again. From there, it was academic as Velasquez pounded away on a turtling Lesnar until referee Herb Dean called it all off. As they were crowning Velasquez the new UFC heavyweight champion, UFC president Dana White looked less than enthused. he may have been seeing dollar signs flying away as UFC's most marketable fighter bit the dust and bit the dust hard. Up next for Velasquez, who UFC's marketing department has probably told you and told you over and over again, is the first Mexican heavyweight champion in combat sports. And that is really impressive for Velasquez because he was born in California. He's not actually Mexican, but you know, the hell of a fight nonetheless. Velasquez now has a date set with Brazilian striker Junior Dos Santos, who earned his title shot after defeating Roy Big Country Nelson earlier. As for Lesnar, well, for the right now, he's off to Alberta to go on a hunting trip. I wish him well in his quest. Beyond that, the rumor mill has already been drumming up talk of a third matchup with Frank Mir when he returns. So that would complete the Lesnar-Mir trilogy. They've come up big twice on pay-per-view before. So it's a money fight, even though it has come out rather in favor of Lesnar the last time. Mir did grab the leg lock the first time. So they're at 1-1. I guess it makes sense to go for a third time, especially, but there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of options for Lesnar at this point. Perhaps a rematch with Carwin could have been in the cards, but Shane Carwin pulled out of his fight with Roy Nelson with a back injury earlier this week. So Mir's healthy and he's there. He may get the Brock ticket quicker than he thinks. In the semi-main event of the evening, Jake Shields was victorious in his UFC debut, taking a narrow split decision victory over Martin the Hitman Campman. For new UFC fans who hadn't seen Shields' prior work in Strikeforce and Elite XC, Rumble on the Rock, among other promotions Shields has fought for in the past, this was the best of Shields and the worst of Shields, if I can paraphrase Dickens, who I'm sure would have been an MMA fan. The best being we saw the takedowns and we saw the position control that makes Shields a threat to anyone in the game. The worst being that the old criticism of Shields being, a quote-unquote boring wrestler appeared to come into play as, despite achieving a superior position, he never looked in a hurry to finish the fight. Campman, for his part, employed a flawed strategy, trying to beat Shields on the ground instead of taking advantage of a superior stand-up attack. At any rate, Shields, he took the split decision to the underwhelmment of the crowd. Dana White had said previously that if Shields had won, that he would be in line for a title shot against welterweight champion and Canadian Superman George St. Pierre. But Dana has been known to change his mind after people he has picked as top contenders turn in what could be described as lackluster performances. Yoshinokami, I'm looking at you, my friend. In Shields' defense, however, he was said to be exhausted from cutting to 170 pounds for the first time in about a year and a half. In other welterweight action, Diego Sanchez and Paulo Thiago brought the house down in what was the fight of the night and a definite fight of the year candidate as Sanchez outlasted Thiago to take a unanimous decision victory. Both men entered this fight coming off a loss, Thiago to Martin Campman and Sanchez to John Hathaway, and both men came out with something to prove. Thiago controlled the first round with his stand-up and left Sanchez unable to keep him on the mat, but as they entered round two, the momentum began to swing. Thiago started where he left off, but Sanchez was able to take the fight to the mat and began to impose his will. In the highlight of the fight, Sanchez attempted to dive into Thiago's guard, but Thiago countered with an amazing elevator sweep, which for those of you who haven't seen it before, something like an old school pro wrestling monkey flip. It was really something to see. He got back to his feet where Sanchez then lifted him back up over his shoulder and let out a barbarian-like war cry and just charged across the octagon with Thiago on his shoulder before slamming him down hard. It was the greatest running slam that MMA has seen since all the way back in Matt Hughes against Frank Trigg part 2 back at UFC 52, and it's well worth tracking down if you haven't seen it yet. Go on the interweb, see if you can find the fight itself or even a GIF file of that slam, because it is really something to see. It's going to be on MMA highlight reels for, well, for the foreseeable future anyway. The third round saw more of the same, but Thiago appeared to tire as Sanchez continued his relentless pace. One thing about Diego Sanchez, that guy has got cardio forever. Even his fight against BJ Penn, where he lost a really one-sided decision where Penn just beat the tar out of him, basically, for five rounds. Sanchez never stopped moving forward. He's like Rocky Balboa with a better gas tank. There's my my Rocky mention for the show. Sorry, had to be done. When all is said and done, Sanchez gets the W, although both men walk away $70,000 richer with their fight of the night bonuses. Sanchez had been talking about dropping back down to 155. Hopefully, this brilliant performance convinces him to stay at 170. In the light heavyweight division, the Huntington Beach bad boy, Tito Ortiz, made his return to the octagon after neck surgery to face off against his former pupil on the Ultimate Fighter TV show, Matt the Hammer Hamill. In the first round, Ortiz looked to be using his stand-up attack to keep Hamill at bay. He fired off some kicks early, but he came out of the round with a cut under his right eye and appeared to have taken more damage. The second round saw Hamill target the eye with his jab before taking Ortiz down and working him over with ground and pound that seemed reminiscent of Ortiz's attack back in his prime. I don't know if he was still thinking about the comments Tito had made prior to the fight where he said that deaf people were born with naturally soft heads and would be easier to knock out. Tito Ortiz, better fighter than he is in a medical doctor, although this fight showed maybe not that much. Third round saw more of the same as Hamill beat up Ortiz on the feet and on the ground to take unanimous decision victory. Ortiz's career appears to be at a crossroads now. Although he insists he's not done fighting, the loss puts him at 0-4-1 in his past five fights, and his last win came against none other than the old guy that won't quit himself, Ken Shamrock, back in 2006. Dana White has openly questioned Tito's relevance in the light heavyweight division, and it's unknown what his status with the company will be going forwards. Tito's fallback excuse whenever people mention that he was 0-3-1 in his last four, now 0-4-1 in his last five, is that yes, but everyone he'd lost to was a former or current UFC light heavyweight champion. Matt Hamill obviously does not fit that description. While he's got a ton of heart and he's a really plucky guy, especially considering his hearing impairment, he's not what people call top of the division at 205 pounds. And Tito really didn't show anything that proved that he's ready to hang with those top fighters. So who knows where he goes from here? He may show up in Strikeforce. There's been talk of a fight with him and Babalu Sobral. Or, you know, this is where my money goes, and I'm not sure, you know, whether this will happen or not, but I've just got a sneaking suspicion that somewhere between now and this time next year, he winds up fighting Ken Shamrock for some, you know, upstart promotion in Australia somewhere. Or maybe Tijuana. I've just got that weird feeling. The main card opened with a showdown between Brendan the Hybrid Schaub and Gabriel Napal Gonzaga. Schaub was able to use his superior speed and movement to keep the larger Gonzaga at bay, and appeared to tag the Brazilian with shots at will, but never getting close enough that Gonzaga could make use of his power advantage. In the end, it's a unanimous decision for Schaub, who wins his third straight and looks like he is a bona fide heavyweight prospect. In the prelim shown on Spike TV, filthy Tom Lawler was able to use his wrestling to stifle Quebec's Patrick Côté and gain a decision victory. It's not known where Côté will go from here, as the former middleweight title contender has now dropped two straight fights since returning from injury. The other prelim saw Ultimate Fighter winner Court McGee pass his initial test in the octagon, withstanding an early onslaught from Ryan Jensen to win the fight via arm triangle in the third round, much to the delight of his trainer John Hackelman. Well, that was UFC in a nutshell. We'll be back to have a look at some things that maybe are a little closer to home right after, oh, I don't know, this maybe?
I'm troubled by shapeless fears. Who can live in the modern world without catching his share of them? I hope I've landed on my feet this time.
Need a place to rent? Have a place for rent? AMS Rents Line can help. AMS Rents Line is an easy-to-operate, touch-tone, and web-based system that connects thousands of landlords with UBC students looking for off-campus housing. UBC students can search the ads for free or place a two-week posting for $5. To view current listings, visit www.amsrentsline.com.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. And then the Renaissance came. The times continue to change. Nothing stayed the same, but they were always renegades. Like you said, for Tom Paine, Dr. Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, they were renegades of their time and age. So mighty renegades. We're the renegades of Trump. We're the renegades of Trump. Away. We are the force of another creation, a new musical revelation. And we're on this musical mission to help the others listen. And grew from land to land, singing electronic chants like Super Nation. Revelations destroy our nations. Destroy our nations. Now renegades are the people with their own philosophies. They change the course of history. Everyday people like you and me. We're the renegades, we're the people. Philosophies, we change the course of history. Everyday people like you and me, come on.
Rage Against the Machine, Renegades of Funk, here on 101.9 CITR. That was Jake Shields' first walkout into the octagon, his song. And, well, it brought him luck in the way that he won, although I'm sure it was not the victory he was looking for. I'm sure he would have liked to make a bigger statement against Martin Campman, but that's why they call it a fight, kids. You never know what's going to happen. And on Friday night, this past Friday night, Battlefield Fight League ran another one of their amateur MMA shows, this time at the Edgewater Casino in downtown Vancouver. In the main event, welterweight showdown, Matt Dwyer and Yusuf Nji engaged in a total stand-up war that saw the larger Dwyer use his reach and size advantage to establish dominance and walked away with a third-round TKO victory. In the co-main event, welterweight Stuart DeLorme secured a second-round TKO over Marcus Suarez student Ben Cote to notch up another victory for fighters from the Okanagan area. In the middleweight division, Micah Brakefield was able to overcome the powerful offense of Axe Capoeira's Andre Da Silva, including a bone-rattling slam en route to a first-round submission victory via rear naked choke. Other winners on the evening saw featherweight Orrin Hanscom win his Battlefield Fight League debut via decision. Jefferson Alvarez won a decision at 150 pounds. West Coast BJJ's David Kennedy won with a sweet triangle choke in under a minute at 160 pounds. Emilio Detrocio from Posner's Pancreation won a first-round submission of his own with an armbar at 150 pounds. Island MMA's Eli Wise had a first-round triangle choke victory at 165 pounds. Universal MMA's Zach Kosh won his featherweight battle by second-round rear naked choke. And in bantamweight action, Crusher Combat's Joe Boldo took home a split decision victory. All in all, a great night of amateur MMA action from Battlefield, whose shows are quickly becoming a hot ticket for Vancouver MMA fans. The next show they have lined up is January the 15th, so everyone knows what they got to ask for Christmas now, right? We'll be waiting with bated breath until then. In other BC fighter news, accomplished Muay Thai fighter Julia Budd out of Gibson Pancration in Port Moody made her MMA debut at last week's Strikeforce Challengers event, not only defeating the previously unbeaten Shayna Olsen, but dominating her more experienced opponent from bell to bell en route to a second-round TKO victory. Budd looked incredibly fit at 145 pounds, and despite losing a point for an illegal elbow early, was able to use top position to her advantage and pound out Olsen at 251 of round two. It looks like Strikeforce women's champ Cyborg Santos may have another challenger in her midst. In other Gibson Pancration news, team captain and UFC veteran Lance Gibson is training Rampage Jackson for his next fight against Lyoto the Dragon Machida in Auburn Hills November 20th. Jackson, well, let's call a spade here, didn't look the best of condition in his last fight against Rashad Evans. And a break from the Wolf Slayer camp where he had been training may be what Jackson needs to return to his prior form, which saw him win the UFC Light Heavyweight Championship. Gibson and Jackson apparently met on the set of the A-Team movie, where they formed a friendship that led to the partnership. Gibson and his team will be looking to help Jackson solve the elusiveness of Machida, and if anyone can do it, it'll be Gibson and his expert team of coaches. And we shall be right back. We will wrap things up and everything else right after this.
Wednesday mornings on CITR from 8 to 10 a.m. It's the Suburban Jungle Show with your radio host, DJ Jack Velvet. Thrills, chills, excitement, and music. That's the Suburban Jungle Show, Wednesday mornings from 8 to 10 on 101.9 FM in Vancouver. You can also catch this show, streaming and podcast, at www.jackvelvet.net. Don't miss the Suburban Jungle Show, Wednesdays 8 to 10, 101.9 FM, CITR.
Right here on News 101.
What motivated you to become a candidate in the provincial election?
The media portrayal of last week's protest that resulted in polarizing images of black-clad activists taking to the streets.
He was just explaining to us the reason why they wanted to show this film on campus.
The official stance is that we are for the Olympics.
News 101 reporter Brad Pepping was there.
By discriminating against homeless people in Vancouver, there's a disproportionate impact on Aboriginal people as well as people with disabilities.
I was pretty outraged. I mean, it is outrageous.
In-depth coverage from an alternative perspective. News 101 is Vancouver's only live, volunteer-produced student and community newscast, bringing you local, national, and international news from an alternative perspective. Tune in Mondays and Fridays at 5 p.m. right here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Live streaming and podcasts are available online at citr.ca.
Okay, well, that's about it for In the Cage this week. Before we leave, I'd like to remind everyone that next week is going to be a huge show, as joining us will be Mirko Mladenovic, the former chairman of the Vancouver Athletic Commission, who is removed from his position in part due to his support of combat sports in the city. Mirko's a great guy. He's always outspoken, and he's going to give us the goods on what happened behind the scenes during the Vancouver UFC saga, City Hall's anti-combat sports agenda, and basically all things in the realm of MMA versus the city of Vancouver. It's going to be an amazing show. You're going to kick yourself, really, if you don't tune in. And if you don't, I might kick you, and nobody wants that. Also want to remind everyone that applications are still being accepted for the 2011 term of the Vancouver Athletic Commission. The applications are due November 5th, and there are 5 vacancies open to the general public. Anyone at all who has interest is encouraged to apply, as quite frankly, we need as many MMA advocates as possible on the commission to derail current VAC chairman and city bureaucrat Dave Rudberg's agenda. I also want to note that one does not have to be a Vancouver resident to apply, as Mr. Rudberg himself neither lives nor owns property in our fair city. The applications are on the City of Vancouver website at vancouver.ca, or for a direct link, feel free to email the show at inthecagewithbards@hotmail.com, or on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/inthecagewithbards, and Bards, as usual, is still spelled B-A-R-D-S. Well, that appears to be it for me. We'll leave with Court McGee's walkout song from this past Saturday. Court, as many of you know, faced some addiction issues before straightening his life out and winning the Ultimate Fighter, and now becoming a successful fighter in the UFC as well. And the song he picked for Saturday really reflects that. The song is What It's Like by Everlast. And until then, well, the bell has sounded. See you next week.
God forbid you ever had to walk a mile in his shoes.